Thanks, Kate. What a week it had been in the life of that city of Jerusalem. What a week it had been for those disciples. All sorts of different faces. At the beginning of the week, Jesus is welcomed into Jerusalem as a king. And by the end of the week, he's crucified. He's put in a tomb and business as usual. There must have been that now what sort of face. The disciples had scattered to various locations. Some were behind locked doors. And two decided to leave town. They decided to get out. And chapter 24 that Kate's just read us is about that journey that they take 7 miles along the Emmaus Road. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And I love it, because you know I'm not hot on the Greek, but I love it because this translation translated it as homileo susitio. Basically, they're chatting. Basically, they're saying, have you heard? Did you know? You know what? Amazed. What about Peter? He must be gutted. Could you believe how that crowd turned on Jesus? And you know, poor Mary, she must be absolutely devastated. And they must have said to each other, you know, the last 3 years been exciting because we've seen Jesus feed 5,000. We've been in a boat and we were all puking up over the side and then we weren't. And it's been a good 3 years. But they must have got to the point where they thought, now what? The now what face. The now what feeling that we often have. The now what feeling after any major event. The now what feeling after you've spent ages working on who's going to sit next to who at a wedding. The now what feeling that Claire and I have on a Thursday about 12:30, 1 o'clock, when we've managed to get everybody into the seats and we go, now what? Disciples were at that now what phase because their whole of their last 3 years had been absorbed with what they were doing with Jesus. And that's, in many ways, where we are with a now what kind of feeling. Because the last year we've been absorbed by COVID. And we're moving into a now what phase. What is life going to be like after lockdown? What is my life going to be like? What's my workplace going to be like? Pretty rubbish mind, but anyway. What's church going to be like? What now? And we're thinking all of those things through. But as they discussed, sorry, please believe these days will pass, they will. As they thought about that, they had that yesterday feeling and that now what tomorrow feeling as well. And we read, but they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus appears. He starts walking with them on this 7 miles. And he just joins them. And immediately, you'd think, wouldn't you, logically, that they would recognize him. You know, they spent so much time with him. Surely, you numpties, you could have seen it was Jesus. But we read, they were kept. Was the sun in their eyes? No, because it was evening. Was God purposely not allowing them to recognize Jesus at this point? Was God kind of testing them? Was he just trying to see what they really had understood about these last few days? And that they'd taken it on board? We don't know. Because Luke leaves it very vague. All we know is that they were kept from recognizing him. So Jesus comes out with quite a sensible question, very loaded question. What are you discussing together as you walk along? Very loaded, because everybody knew what had been going on in Jerusalem. And also a fairly daft question, you'd have to say, because everybody, it was the talk of the town that Jesus had died, been put in a tomb. So Cleopas sees to it that Jesus is kept up to speed with all that's going on and gets all the facts right. But there's a kind of tone in the voice. It's kind of the past tense. There's no personal conviction here. It's all a matter of, but we had hoped. We had hoped. There's a face of disillusionment. There's a face of disappointment. It sounds as if they'd actually felt they'd been let down. You know, and now it's the third day. And we had hoped. We had hoped that Jesus was going to redeem Israel. We had hoped that he was going to change the world. But you think it must have saddened Jesus. He must have stood there and thought, oh, if only. And you know, you kind of think, why, Jesus, why didn't you just shake them and say, you know, come on, guys. I told you that this is what's going to happen. I explained it all to you. But no, he doesn't give them a lecture. He doesn't wag the finger at them. He explains to them again that the cross and the tomb was all part of God's plan. He tells this congregation of two, and he launches into this explanation. But still they don't get it. Still, you know, they scratch their heads. A dumb look that Jesus was looking at. We often don't get it. We often don't get God's plan. But they got it. They got it. When did they get it? They got it when he was at the table with them. He took bread and gave thanks. Ping! The moment when their eyes were opened, suddenly they went back to that upper room where they'd had that profound spiritual moment when Jesus had explained it all. And suddenly they get it. Their brain cells kicked into action. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. That's the sad bit, the second part of that verse. He disappeared from their sight. Eyes are opened. Ophthalmos, that word. Just throwing some in there for you to show that I read the books. Suddenly, they got it. And then he disappeared. Their eyes were opened. It literally means their eyes were opened. And that their action was more than just a recognition. They just got it. What a moment that must have been. Think about it. Think about that moment when your eyes were opened to Jesus. When you got it. When the penny dropped. That moment on the Emmaus Road was just an amazing spiritual moment. The transforming work of Jesus was there and has been there in your lives too. As those two disciples stood there, did they feel remotely stupid that they haven't recognized him? No. Did they feel bad that they'd written Jesus off as a has-been? No. Did they feel cross that Jesus suddenly disappeared? Well, I think so, but no. It was a profound spiritual moment. It's interesting in this Emmaus Road encounter because we know the name of one of those disciples was Cleopas. But the other disciple isn't named. It's Mr., Mrs., Ms., Reverend, Professor, Doctor, no-name disciple. And I'm convinced that that's God. That's God saying, that's because it's you. We can put our name there as those people travelling along that Emmaus Road. We can apply this story to our spiritual lives too, as we walk with Jesus every day. So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What's your spiritual life like this morning? How would your face, if you didn't have a mask on now, how would your face show it to me? How would you describe it? Because we're just like that pair on the Emmaus Road. The times when we're disappointed with God, even cross with God, and we say to God, I had hoped, ... and you fill in the blanks. And yeah, walking with Jesus, the Christian walk is foggy. There's times when we just don't have our eyes fully focused, and we find the fog there, we're blurred. And many ways that's what it's been like for a lot of us during this last year. We're feeling like we're in a fog. But also, sometimes our focus is wrong. Sometimes we don't read the optician's chart correctly. Jesus knew where these guys were. Jesus knew that they were in a fog, and they were confused. But notice what he does. He comes alongside them. He puts out his hand. He says, I'm here. And he says that to us as well. This quote is good. In his infinite courtesy, Jesus remembered the frailty of overstrained nerves and bewildered minds and came, not too suddenly or overwhelmingly upon them, but in a way he alone could do, revealed himself as the risen Christ. Something very special about the way Jesus comes alongside us. I just want you to let that fact sink in. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play you a piece of music. I just want you to close your eyes. Having talked about open your eyes to Jesus, I now want you to close them and just allow whatever's going on in your spiritual life and in your life right now, just allow the Holy Spirit just to lift that weight and to be there for you right now. It's a song that you know well. You'll know the words. So just be still. Be still. And just allow the risen Jesus, the ascended Lord, to meet with you right now. No work too hard from him. In faith, receive from him. Be still and know the power of the risen Lord. Amen. The Emmaus Road story just reminds me again, every time I read it, that we can so often put Jesus into the past tense, that our experience of Jesus can become history. And yes, we have testimonies. We have testimonies of what God has done in our lives. 50, 60, 70 years ago for some of you, 80 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever. But also there are the now testimonies. You know, the testimony, the God moments that we have, those encounters with God that can be what we think to ourselves. We think, oh, that's only just that thing. Because we think that testimonies have to be to do with, you know, drugs, alcohol, rock and roll and all of that, or a Damascus Road testimony. It doesn't. It's those little moments when maybe you're doing the ironing, or maybe you're walking the dog, or maybe you're seeing Chelsea beat Manchester City. Those God moments are just as powerful as the all-singing, all-dancing ones. And now, testimony of life in lockdown. It can be as simple as experiencing God. Mr. C, Cleopas, a no-name disciple, they encountered Jesus. They had a now God moment at that table. And they must have turned to each other and at that point and said to them, each other, well, now what? Now what? No, yeah, that was great. Nice spiritual experience for me. What are we going to do now? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Do you know why that's just an amazing verse? Is that they just walked 7 miles and now, bonkers, they're going to walk 7 miles back to Jerusalem. Why? So they can tell other people of their experience of Jesus. Despite the fact that they told Jesus it was getting dark and that he has to stay, they walked back. And our encounters with Jesus are never meant just for ourselves. They're to tell others as well. They're meant to be shared. They're meant to be so that we can encourage one another, because somebody else might be feeling exactly like you felt, and you can encourage others. So what I'm going to suggest and I'm going to do is that first Sunday when we're back all together with every single one of these purple chairs has a non-masked alien sat on them, we are going to have that songs of praise occasion where we're going to lift the rafters in praise to Jesus. So I'm planning a songs of praise. I'm warning you now of that, with some lockdown testimonies. So if you have one to share, however you think it might be just nothing, if you've got a lockdown testimony to share, then tell me. You can say it in person on that day, or you can write it for me to read for you, or I can get, because I'm now a technology queen, I can now I can now record you and put it up on the screen. But put it out there. Let's have that occasion when the body of Christ, one body, we're back together and we go, woo, 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 thank you, Jesus, because this is what I've experienced and I'm walking this path with you. We walk the path of light and life. And walking on this path, we hear the call to listen and to learn, to seek the Spirit's prompting word. It was a song that I found during lockdown. I, of course, sent it to Pete and said, what can you do with this song, Pete? Can you do me something? And some of you won't have seen what he did do. So enjoy sitting, singing along, and recognizing people. But the words are the important thing.
Wonderful.